Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here in studio with us. How are you this fine day, Mr. Pratt?
I am well, gentlemen. How are you all?
We're getting by. We're ready for a little time off.
It must be a big day for Kerry, because this is, if I recall correctly, is the day that New Orleans became part of the United States.
Indeed. That's on our calendar for later
today. Oh, I should have thought about that. Didn't mean to jump that. I wasn't thinking about that. Yeah, so we have a really interesting book this week. I always like a book that does three things. One is three things. Well written. One that is written with the reader in mind. In other words, that it's meant to tell a story and where you really learn something. This book is all that and more. It's a slim little volume. And boy, if you have a sports fan on your list, especially a baseball fan, you haven't gotten there yet. This is called Baseball's Last Great Scout. The Life of Hugh Alexander is written by a fellow named Dan Austin, who spent time with Hugh Alexander near the end of his life, the last 10 years of his life or so, talking to him about what it was like to be a road scout for 53 years.
Wow.
Now, Hugh Alexander didn't start out to be a scout, and that's one of the most interesting parts of this story. This is a guy who got a lemon and started to make lemonade. And when he was young, he grew up in the really ragtag Oklahoma oil fields in the town of Seminole, Oklahoma. And he did not grow up as very particularly well-to-do, though his parents were ambitious and always trying to do better. But he did grow up being able to play baseball. And he was so good at it that he ended up playing a major league season for the Cleveland Indians. However, as we know in those days, and was true even when I was young, that players had to get a job in the off season. That playing baseball did not pay you enough money to live year round. He was home. He was working. He lost his hand in an accident, in a threshing machine or something along those lines, and was obviously despondent. You know, that he couldn't play baseball, and he got a call from Cleveland, and they said, yeah, but we think you'd be a great scout. And he goes, I want to play baseball. I don't want to be a scout. They talked him into it, and he didn't stop. But here's what's remarkable about this. It'd be one thing if your scouting territory was, say, New York State, or you scouted New England in New York. He scouted Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, all the way up to North Dakota.
Wow.
He would start visiting colleges and minor league teams in the Deep South, as they started to play baseball in the season. And then as the weather got warmer, work his way north to the Canadian border. And he, over his lifetime, signed the likes of Allie Reynolds, the Big Chief, Don Sutton, Marty Bystrom, just to give you the period
of
time.
Range of talent there, my gosh.
And over
50 years worth there.
Exactly. And the thing is, he kept handwritten notes. He had special cards. He was known everywhere he went, and he was one of the first guys to really bird dog colleges. He would go and say, hey, can this kid play? And the coach would say, yeah, I want him to come play for me. Leave him alone, huh? Let him go to college for a couple of years. And he would do this, and he would sort of hide kids. Now, what people may not know, I mean, I knew this because I'm old, but people younger than me might not know. Once upon a time, there was no Major League Scouting Bureau. You scouted players. You signed players. And people like Branch Rickey would sign 150 players a year because he could fill minor leagues, because there were minor league baseball everywhere in the country. We got to remember, at the time, there was no Major League Baseball west of Chicago and St. Louis. Those were the Western outposts. So all of the baseball was being funneled into American and National League teams, all the players. Therefore, in the West and the South and Midwest, there were hundreds and hundreds of minor league teams. There were dozens and dozens of minor leagues. And the way that an executive like Rickey and then later Bill Vack and some other people would keep their major league rosters fully staffed was to literally just sign hundreds of players, send them out, pay them nothing, have them play in the burbs, in the willy wags rather. And then as soon as they started to develop, only they would know them and they would have them, because of the reserve clause, the team you signed with had you forever unless they traded or sold you somewhere else. So what Alexander was really known for was being able to assess great talent and being able to BS whenever other scouts were around and tell him about some kid he'd heard about that he didn't get a chance to go see 250 miles away. So all the new scouts would run out to find this person who didn't exist or to see this kid that wasn't very good, while he went to see someone he didn't want anybody else to see. The story is written in a very, very wonderful style. This is a breezy book. It's only about 160-some pages long. But I think if you like history at all, you really see how the United States and baseball grow up together in a lot of ways, from the post-World War I boom when the economy is suddenly good again, and the Midwest, because it's the grain belt for the world, and is doing very well. Then the Depression, and Huey works through the entire Depression. Is baseball going to survive? Is it not? Baseball nearly shutting down again during World War II until, you know, Roosevelt said, no, I really don't want to shut down. I think baseball is good for our country. So you learn a lot of our social and political history. You also learn about the struggle that a lot of coaches, scouts, and owners, their struggle to get their other fellow owners and scouts and the like to look past all white players. That's comes up in this book. Upton Bell talked about it with us 2 weeks in a row, but this is a very different look at it because this is a guy who recruited almost all the time in the Southern Midwest. But anyway, the book is called Baseball's Last Great Scout, The Life of Hugh Alexander by Dan Austin. It is, it's just a great book that came to us, from the University of Nebraska Press. And I just wanted to mention quickly what's coming up next week. I'm going to talk about the California Golden Seals, the tale of white skates, red ink, and one of the NHL's most outlandish teams.
And you love this book.
This book is great. If you want to learn exactly how to never run a sports team, and if you want to learn what a complete horse's patoot Charles Finley was, this is a great book. But after that, I'm really excited about a book we got called Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles, which are essays on the most iconic moments in sports. And we can always argue about that, which is so great. Was the Ice Bowl better than the 58 NFL championship, you know, those kinds of things. But the tremendous thing about this is I did not know this in advance, the number of Friends of Downtown whose essays are in here, from Ronald Smith, who we talked about at length about the Penn State scandal, from Dick Crapo, from Maureen Smith, who wrote a book we talked about Wilma Rudolph, along with Rita Liberty, about an article about Althea Gibson. Travis Vogan, our friend, an expert on ESPN, isn't here. The Rise and the Fall of the National Sports Daily, which is, when you think about it, yeah, one of the great losses of all time. Dennis Gilday, who wrote Hoop Crazy that we talked to, was on. And I've contacted all of them, and they are all at some point would love to come back on Downtown and talk about the essays in this book.
And we made a new friend in Upton Bell after having him on 2 weeks in a row. He had a very, very nice tweet over the weekend. He said, if you want to listen to hosts that are well-prepared and ask concise questions on interesting topics, this is the show for you. Thank you, Upton Bell.
Yeah, and I got a great email from the press about how much Upton enjoyed it and how much they loved getting the clips, because they will be using them in promotional materials in the future. So that was great.
Very cool stuff right there. Sports Lit 101, Bruce.